Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And by the way, I have a completely soaked raincoat here. If anybody would like to buy it, I'm going to sell it real cheap. Because it is soaked. I cannot believe how that downpour, which was torrential, has stopped. Just absolutely stopped. Well, joining me in this with his wet clothes today is the brand new superintendent of the York School System, Dr. Heath Branham. Have you ever seen a storm like this? You're a Carolina guy.
Not really. Not often. Maybe hurricane season, but not like today.
Woo! Did you get soaked?
A little bit.
A little bit. Okay. Bella, did you get soaked? No, she didn't. Okay. No. She was here early. So we are here today to talk to the brand new superintendent of the York School System. His name is Dr. Heath Branham. So Heath, as we always do, let's do some introductions. Tell us a little bit about your background, if you would.
Sure. So Heath Branham, I'm a South Carolina native, born and raised here in South Carolina, in Chapin, South Carolina, actually. Went to Newberry College and majored in education, taught middle school. Taught elementary. Around that same time, I got married to my wonderful wife of 30 years, Julie, and I have three amazing kids, Drew, Libby, and Sydney. And from there, I got into administration kind of through the back door, meaning I never really thought I'd be administrator. But I saw outside of my classroom that things needed to be better than they were. And in a classroom, you can have impact on 20, 30 or more kids per period. But I just saw things back then that I thought things have got to be better than this. We've got to do better. So that's kind of how I got into education administration. But I've been a principal of five different elementary schools, worked as a director of elementary schools in Lexington One, also served in two principalships there. And interestingly, about, I guess, 2009, I had an opportunity to work with what they called at the time Turnaround Schools of South Carolina. So I worked off the I-95 corridor. I worked in Marlboro County, Clarendon One, and others to help really improve leadership and capacity and student achievement. So I'm an interesting career.
Is that what we call the corridor of shame?
There was a documentary back in that probably 20, 25 years ago called The Corridor of Shame. Yeah. And so I learned a lot about myself as a human being and as a leader in those communities and what to do and what not to do. In terms of serving schools well and students, ultimately.
And, you know, those schools in that particular area, with the absence of a tax base, which is basically the big problem, they don't have the money to do what is being done in other school districts across the state of South Carolina.
That's very true. Yes, they receive federal funds, but to the same level that some of our larger counties with tons of industry and tax base, you can't compare the two. It's like being in two different worlds in the same state.
And then you had the abolition of Act 388.
Oh, right.
Ooh.
Right.
Tough situation.
It is, for sure.
So most recently you have been what position?
So I was principal at Centerville Elementary School. We opened that school in 2020, right in the middle of the pandemic. and it now has about 850 students in a very fast-growing area of Lexington One called Gilbert. It's an agricultural community where generations are selling their grandparents' and great-grandparents' land, much like York.
Woo! Yeah, it's true. So for those of us who are not familiar with the Lexington School District, it is part of Columbia, right?
Well, no, actually, it's Lexington School District 1. It's a bedroom community of Columbia,
okay.
Right?
How big a district is that?
28,000 students, about 4,000 employees, right?
Woo! And at one time, I think you were telling me you were supervising all the elementary schools?
That's correct. There are 18 elementary schools now, but when I was the director of elementary schools for Lexington 1, there were 15 elementary schools. Most of those schools house 800 to 1,000 students. And so you're talking about over 10,000 students, 44 administrators, and all the other support staff that help run those schools.
So that's if you take all those schools and put them together.
Right.
That's quite a bit more than the York School District that's taken over now, right?
Currently, yes. But projections show us growing pretty quickly here in the next 10 to 20 years.
Which is a whole other story, and we'll get into that. So this is your first superintendent of a school district. Is that correct?
Correct. That is correct.
And when this opportunity presented itself, you were saying to yourself?
Well, honestly, I really wasn't looking. There were quite maybe 16, 17 superintendencies open in South Carolina this past spring, this past school year.
We had three of them here.
Right, three in New York County alone, right. And so I had applied for Lexington School District 1 back in 2022. They hired Dr. Jarita Postlewaite, who is a mentor of mine and an incredible superintendent in South Carolina. And she actually was awarded that position. And I was able to intern with her and learn a great deal about the superintendency from her. But through that, I got to know the South Carolina School Boards Association officials and learned this spring that York 1 was open. And when I heard that, I investigated, I looked at it to see what is this all about. Because I wasn't just looking to look. I'm not just looking for a job or a title. I'm looking for impact. And where I feel like there's a need in a community and my skill set and my experiences. And so I watched probably a year and a half of YouTube's videos of board meetings to see what the board's all about, what the school district's about. And after doing my due diligence with that, I knew it was the right place for me. Came in, did the interviews, and the entire time from the beginning all the way through signing my contract to the current day, it is an absolute, I would say, a perfect fit for me and for the school district, I would think so as well.
Well, they hope so. Right?
That's right. That's right.
So when you say it was a perfect fit, what kinds of things are on that list to make it a perfect fit?
Yeah, so I mean, so we have, you know, the city of York, but there's also the rural areas of York. And so that combination of a more rural school district or somewhat suburban coming up in terms of it's really becoming more of a bedroom community outside of the Charlotte metro area, more so than it has been in the past. But there are amazing things happening. There's a new school bond or school referendum that was passed. So there's excitement there building a new school. And I've had experience opening and planning a new school opening. So that's exciting. The new ag arena was exciting to me. Mm-hmm. The ability to come in and work alongside leaders who've been working really hard and to help build capacity in our schools and to get people excited again about what we do. Give people hope, give them opportunities. Our theme this year is to be seen, be heard, and belong. We want to make sure that every staff member, we talk about recruitment and retention of staff members and teachers all the time. And working conditions are a huge part of that. Do I enjoy where I work? Am I valued where I work? On the opposite side of that, we have students. Do they feel like they're seen, heard, and do they belong? So I'm a very big advocate for making sure every kid's connected to something, a club, an opportunity, a team, whether that's athletics, band, dance, whatever it is. Every kid needs to be connected. We have a slogan, connected as one. And it can't just be words. It's got to be our behavior to make sure that every single student that comes in our contact every day has a place where they belong, where they fit in, and where they can have success academically, but also in other ways.
Pretty interesting. I mean, you're right. Because to be a well-rounded person, there's more than just the academics.
Correct.
Right?
That's right. 100% correct.
Is that something that you can mandate as a district that I mean
right now I don't see it as a mandate because mandates get us compliance and I'm looking for investment and commitment.
Okay.
And so, you know, sometimes you talk about a sense of belonging or making sure that people are heard and seen. That's more in my mind leaders modeling that. So that becomes part of our DNA and who we are as an organization, as a school district. This is the way we do things here. So I think it's leading by example and walking the talk, not just saying it, but doing it.
So when you take a look, as you are forced to do, it being in the public school business, you know, everything is measured by this score, that score, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
So as you see it, we are, let's use a scale of 1 to 10, all right? We are at whatever, 5 or 6. We want to get up to 10.
Right.
I mean, you tell me. And what is it going to take to get there?
Right. Well, I think it takes all of us working together. And that sounds cliche or trite, but it really does take us being very crystal clear on what our expectations are, I believe in very high expectations for staff and students. But with high expectations has to come very clear, concise communication about roles and responsibilities, but also a high level of support. So we can't expect people just to arrive at our destination or our goal. We have to help people along the way. And that's not from a behind a desk perspective. That's in the field, in the trenches, working with people. And so when we collaborate, when we sit down and put the minds together, not just district office, but school leaders and teacher leaders and support staff, and we talk about that compelling future, where we want to be, whether it's a score or a label or a graduation rate, we've got to make sure that every person understands their role in achieving that, including students and families, because it takes all of that to make it happen.
You know, public school in 2025 is a lot different than when I went to school 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it has to do with the change of the family structure. We don't have Ozzie and Harriet anymore. That's out the window. And so we have so many kids who are coming to school hungry. They're coming to school from dysfunctional homes. And for you to achieve what you want to achieve, mm-hmm. you got to deal with all those issues first, which is what you're talking about. You got to meet these kids where they are.
We do, but we've got to be very careful too, that we don't look at those social ills or poverty or other things as a limitation. We know that it's an issue or a challenge, but we have to control what we can control inside of our facilities, inside of our buildings. And there are certain things that we can do that we're equipped to do that we have expertise in. There are areas where we also have to realize that we need community partners, whether it's mental health, pediatricians, food banks, faith organizations. We need to tap into those to help complete the circle. A school district, a public school district, cannot achieve all this by themselves. It's not humanly possible.
So here you know, one of the beauties about being in a smaller community, which York is, that schools play just, to me, an even more vital role in the life of the community than they would, let's say, in a big city like Charlotte.
Absolutely.
Right? So when you take a look at these partnerships, are they in pretty good shape right now? Do you need more of them? What's the case?
So we always need more, but that's because we want mentors. We want people working with kids. But the truth is, I've been incredibly impressed by the amount of faith foundations and organizations and community organizations that do things that no one sees or hears about, but they get done. For example, I attended a couple weeks ago the NAACP, the York chapter, along with some other organizations came together in Jefferson Field and had free school supplies giveaway, backpacks. I know that there are backpack programs that are provided for kids that have food insecurity on the weekend. So there are a lot of things that happen that the general public just doesn't typically know about unless it impacts their family. But you're right, there are a lot of needs, and smaller communities, it's easier to see the needs, and it's also easier to support the needs. And so as York grows, that's something we have to be crystal clear about, is our values as a community, identifying what those are, and regardless of growth, that we stick to those and that we make certain that we don't allow just absolute growth to define who we are as a community.
And boy, that's a tough order.
It is a very tough order.
I mean, I can see, having lived here as long as I have, which is a little over 40 years, you can see things changing just because of the influx of people from different parts of the country who think differently, which is okay, but the values are the values. And you're right. You don't want to lose those.
Right. And so I think what's important. So I grew up in a community in Chapin, South Carolina. When I grew up there, there was one blinking light and a red and white grocery store and Chapin Pharmacy. The elementary school was K-7. High school was 8-12. If you go to Chapin, South Carolina today, there are 5A school district or 5A school. And I graduated with 140 people. They have classes of 400, 500, 600 kids now. And so it's a radical, but they haven't really lost their Chapin hometown feel. Good. For the most part. Change comes with life. Like, you know, we all love the automobile instead of the horse and buggy, but that created change and put some people out of jobs, right? So we've got to make certain that we honor what works and what are shared values across communities. So you can look at Hickory Grove Sharon or Smyrna versus City of York. There are going to be some differences there, but there are a lot of commonalities that becomes our shared value system of what do we expect for our families and for our kids. What do we want to make certain that they get? Yes, we want them to graduate on time. Yes, we want them to do well academically. But yes, we also want them to be a contributing, high-functioning member of society. And so all of the above is important.
Very interesting. Okay, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy. Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And after that big downpour from about 30 minutes ago, there's not a drop out there right now. It's a nice day to come on into Substation 2. Enjoy a fresh sub or salad. We do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in the white letter, so let's chime it out together at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, 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 slice. Slice. Garden, 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 garden.
Well done. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
Enjoy the Italian sub with the salami.
I enjoy just the atmosphere.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
The Piedmont Medical Center Women's Tower at our Rock Hill campus boasts fully furnished labor and delivery rooms and family care suites. Our Level 3 NICU is equipped to provide advanced medical treatments for premature infants and infants who may have complications. Inside the Women's Tower, families begin bonding with their special deliveries in private family care suites, allowing mom and baby to relax with ease. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
We know the type. You like to start early, finish late, make lemon squares, and make payments to the college fund from anywhere in the house. We know you rely on Comporium for the things you rely on most, like a view of the backyard. That's just a bunny, and hundreds of channels to watch, whenever you want. So you may think of us as just your internet company, but we're more like the I didn't know they could do all that company. Comporium, always ready.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Love the bread. Number 19's the best.
Fresh, delicious bread.
It's fresh.
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop with the brand new superintendent of the York School District, Dr. Heath Branham. He comes to us from the Lexington area. Grew up in Chapin. They had, what did you say? He had one elementary school, which was K through 5 or 6. And then one high school, which was 7 to 12, something like that.
That's right. That's right.
Quite a difference in today's
Very
world.
Very different, yeah.
So, have you had a chance to break bread or say hello to all the other superintendents?
Absolutely.
Particularly since we got three of you who are brand new.
Yeah, in fact, we just had dinner in Lake Wylie last week, and it was a great opportunity. Of course, Dr. Quinn has already reached out to all of us when we got named just to help us out, support us, and she's been an incredible is an incredible leader for not only for her school district, but for York County and the state. She's a well thought of leader across public schools in South Carolina and beyond.
And she's a senior member now.
Correct.
That's funny. Okay, so on your 1-2-3 list, I have to think growth is there at the top because anybody who drives up to York, just take a look. What used to be green grass is now rooftops.
Correct.
And the numbers are pretty substantial in terms of permits which have been granted to build these houses.
Right.
So are you gearing up for that?
So we're trying to be incredibly proactive with that. We are constantly looking at our class sizes. Our board has been committed to a 21.5 for elementary school ratio, teacher to student ratio, and just a bit higher than that for middle and high schools, and we are in ratio currently. But we're following those numbers. We have our 10th day of school coming up at the end of this week, so 10-day report's a big deal for school districts in South Carolina. So we're going to kind of look at where we are, and any adjustments that need to be made, we'll make them from there. But outside of that, in fact, the cabinet just spent half a day last Friday looking at our new middle school that's being built, which will allow us to have two middle schools in York School District 1, and allow us to be much more productive in a 6-8 model. Because right now we have an intermediate school that's a 5-6 model. Hickory Grove carries through 6th grade. And then we have a 7-8 middle school. So we're excited about that. We're very, very appreciative of our community overwhelmingly passing the bond referendum to allow us to do this. We will also be renovating our early childhood center. Mm-hmm. So that'll allow us to move our Montessori programs, our K-4 programs, and our special needs preschool to that facility so that we're able to really not only just build new schools, but utilize the schools we have in a K-5 model, a 6-8 model. So it allows us to free up some classrooms once we renovate the early childhood center, which gives us a little bit of room to wiggle in terms of looking at growth coming in. But we, you know, when you look at forecasting growth, typically it's looking at historical models. But for an area with as many neighborhoods coming in as we have, you can't always use historical models to accurately predict what's coming. And so we have to use consultants that this is kind of their bread and butter, their expertise. And so we've, as a school district, have done that, and we'll be speaking to them again this fall to kind of see where we're landing versus where they said we would land. And so we can look at what's our next 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and 10 years.
So with all that being said, growth is at knocking at the door. You're probably going to have to build some more schools or renovate some more schools.
For sure.
You currently are not getting any impact fees for the York School District?
We get none. We get zero. So we have all the new homes coming in, and, of course, the way we're funded in South Carolina is looking at last year's enrollment numbers. And so districts that are growing faster are at a disadvantage in terms of what we're able to secure from state funding, which obviously most of funding in every school district in South Carolina, typically 88 to 90% goes to teacher salaries. And the rest of the district. So it's, 90% typically, 88, 90% in most school district is personnel. So when you look at that and you look at a fast-growing school district, it puts school districts in a difficult space.
So can I anticipate that you'll be going back to the county council to say, look, we need some help?
Yeah, I mean, we have to put every option on the table. We can't have a mandate and expectation for high-quality, high-performing schools if we don't have the resources and materials we need to have those. And now, a brand new school by itself does not create a high-performing school.
Sure.
But at the same time, we talk about recruitment and retention, class size. There are many factors that go into high-performing schools. And so we're going to have to keep every option on the table for school funding for York One.
Do you think you would have the support of the voters? I mean, I know you're brand new. Do you think you could get their support for this?
I think if we're able to show, not just tell them, if we're able to show them the numbers, show them our spaces, and really help them see the compelling need, I absolutely think that everyone I've encountered are so pro public schools in York. It has been a welcome for me how much people want to see our schools be successful. I've not seen anything yet, and I realize I'm still on the honeymoon. I realize it's still early, but the great majority of people want our schools to be successful. Those are not just people who have students in our schools. Those are community and business leaders. Those are, chamber and the co-op. There are multiple people that want to make certain that our schools are schools that we can be proud of and that serve generations to come.
You know, with that being said, you would think that it would be a no-brainer to get the support, of the council. But that's going to be a job. I mean, the council has, I'll never forget when all this stuff started. Fort Mill School District, years and years and years ago, got their first impact fee. And there were 500 people from Fort Mill who came all the way to York at the McKelvey Center for a special meeting of the council. And the council sat there and listened to them and said, you know what? We got the message. They approved it. And now they've had to go back again and get that impact fee doubled. Nobody wanted to double it, but the people in Fort Mill were willing to do it. Clover, you know, had all the support, right? Theirs got turned down, so they had to remodel theirs, and it got passed. But that was the bond referendum, I should have said, pardon me. So with that all being said, it all gets down to what the taxpayer wants to do,
right?
Whether they're going to approve it or not.
Right.
So,
bottom line, true.
Bottom line.
And we have to make certain that they not only hear but believe and trust that their investment is worth what we're giving them in terms of our students and their students' achievement and opportunities.
I tell you what is really neat is what York and Clover School Districts have done together with the help of Senator Harvey Peeler and a couple of others in creating probably something that's been talked about for at least 20 years, if not longer, and that's the new Ag Center.
That's right.
That's going to be something.
It is, absolutely. And I got to come in June and go to the groundbreaking for that. And I'm telling you, I've been in education in South Carolina for 30 years. And I have not ever seen every school district in York, everyone represented and giving funds for it, and all the different organizations that have come together to see that come out of the ground. And it's exciting to go out there now. I mean, they're prepping the site, they're clearing the land, and it's actually coming to fruition. And so one of the amazing things is Amy Hagner, who's our assistant superintendent for finance and operations. She's been a critical lever in this. And after the groundbreaking, the amount of people that came forward for fundraising, I think it's because, to your point, 20 years in the making, people didn't think it was going to happen, but it's actually happening now. In fact, the site's being prepped now. The building package will go out for bid soon, so it's really happening. There's just an air of excitement, and that it was collaborative with Clover and Rock Hill and Fort Mill and York One leading the way has been really exciting. And it's gotten the attention of people outside of York who may want to use the facility or even replicate this type of thing moving forward.
Well, it also is indicative of the community in which we live. We have an urban side to this community. Somebody said, you take a look at Highway 274.
That's right.
That's what splits East and West York County.
Right.
Urban to the right, rural to the left.
Correct.
And that's what's growing. So it has been a long time in coming. Glad to see it. So what, you're in your first 2 months of being the superintendent.
Yeah.
Anything over, you know, pressing that you need to be done right now?
No, I think it's just we've gotten school started last week and getting into a rhythm. You know, every school district I've ever worked in over the past 30 years, the first week or two with transportation and making sure that young kids get exactly where it's supposed to be. So, you know, above everything else, safety is our top priority, period, point blank. There's nothing more important than student safety, staff safety.
So how are you with teachers? You got teachers and enough teachers, bus drivers?
We are fully staffed. We're down two bus drivers, and we're filling those positions now.
Two bus drivers. I got two guys right here. They both drive a bus. They don't do anything else. They can do it for you.
Right. So we're excited. I mean, we're fully staffed, certified staff, support staff, outside of the two bus drivers. So we're doing well there.
Dr. Heath Brandon, thank you for spending 30 minutes with us, and good luck to you as you get on with your job as superintendent of the York School District. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Okay, one more time here at Substation 2. It has stopped raining. There's no reason not to get in here. Woo! What a difference 30 minutes makes. Okay, how do we make fresh subs and salads? At the count of three, let's tell everybody. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.